Oh, this is appropriate for this Sunday morning. It's so rainy and foggy. Don't go back to bed. Come on, join us. It's me, Wendy Snyder, and good morning. Dave Schwann is off today, and filling in for him is Rob LaFrenz. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Wendy. Great to be here.
And in the sports lounge, Tony DiNardis this week. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Wendy.
I like this rotating group of guys that do sports on Sunday morning. I enjoy it. And Eli Burke behind the producer's glass today. Hi, Eli.
Good morning, Wendy.
Dave Schwann normally does his far-flung forecast, and I don't know what's happened in the past. It usually happens after the 9:30 news, but we've kind of discussed this a little, Eli, and we thought maybe it's best left to him, and he's off for the next few weeks.
It feels a bit sacrilegious to do it without him, because only he can do it the right way.
Well, it's his thing. It's like, what if all of a sudden I started doing Two Truths and Eli?
I mean, I think it could be a fun guest host, but I'm in agreement with you for the far-flung forecast, where I don't think we'd be able to do it the justice that he could. So I think that it's his thing. It should stay his thing.
Yeah. And I mean, he put so much work into it, and I certainly don't want to put that much work into it. So we're going to put it on hold until he comes back. Anybody watch the Bears game last night? Preseason Bears?
Yeah, of course. Good stuff.
I didn't.
No?
You did, Tony, obviously.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
Oh, just a little bit, huh?
Yeah, well, there was golf going on, college football. There was a lot taking place yesterday, Wendy.
I guess. I watched none of the sporting stuff. Eli, I know you watched the Bears game.
I was pretty tuned into at least the first half. I was watching Tyson Bagent. I was looking to see what he could do, because there was obviously a lot of talk about what his return could be if he has a really good preseason, what his audition tape could look like if he's trying to earn a starting job somewhere else. And he really looked fantastic yesterday for the Bears, starting even on the first play, finding rookie in Xavion Thomas, the third-round pick. They took him for his speed. And on the first play of the Bears game, or in the Bears offensive drive, he burned his man down the sideline. Tyson Bagent hit him for a 97-yard touchdown, and the Bears grabbed the lead, did not give it up. It was a big win for the Bears. It was an all-around team effort, far better than when they looked in Cincinnati last week.
Okay, and this isn't even our starters, right?
A good amount of the starters are playing on defense because the injury bug has hit the Bears quite a bit during training camp, so a lot of the rookies have had to step up. They're going to be expected to play some starting roles coming up this season. But the offense, it was mostly the reserves, so they kept a lot of stuff in the back pocket this week.
All right, and Rob, did you watch the whole game, or are you just kind of on and off?
You know, I did some flipping around, but I'm a little football starved, so I stuck around and watched almost the whole thing.
I kind of forgot. I know that sounds really bad. I worked at the plant shop yesterday, Vagabond Botanical. I love my plants. I went home and watered my own plants. And then I kind of forgot about the Bears game. Eli showed me some video this morning. Can I just tell you, I am the most gullible person in the world. Now, explain what you showed me. And I know it wasn't true, but it caught me for a second.
So we were in the booth before the show here, and I was just scrolling through social media, and I was taught, and there was that play that Xavion Thomas, that first play, the 97-yard touchdown had come up, but someone had edited it to be where instead of Xavion Thomas running down the field, like an AI-generated motorcycle came up, and he just flies down the field, and no one can catch him, and it took about the 20-yard line before Wendy realized he shouldn't be on a motorcycle.
Because I said to you, I go, what's this? And you're like, the Bears game yesterday. And I'm like, what? I have fallen for so much AI stuff. I'm so embarrassed. And I don't know if you've seen it. Listeners, I know you have. And please, if you've been duped or bamboozled, these are great words. I love them. 312-981-7200. I always share videos with my boys who are in their mid-20s, so I guess they're still my boys, whatever. And I shared this one of a pig that a little piglet fell off the back of a truck, and a guy's driving behind it going, oh, there's like a little hole in the truck in the middle of the grating, and you see the nose of this little piggy coming out, and the guy narrating it, which I've been told is the AI voice, is like, oh no, little piggy, don't jump out, don't jump out. And then the little piggy, of course, jumps out and is not injured at all, walks away. The guy pulls over. He starts, you know, come here, little piggy. And the piggy starts getting acclimated to him. So he brings the little piggy home. And this guy has a wiener dog, a dachshund, and the dog and the pig are getting along famously. And they're snuggling up together. And I send it to both my boys. And I go, isn't this the cutest video you've ever seen? And they're like, Mom, that's AI. I said, wait, no. And they're like, did you see the end? And I said, yeah, the little piggy runs away, but comes back as a mom with all its little piglets at the back door. And then the dachshund is reunited. He goes, Mom, that is so AI. I totally fell for it. I have fallen for so much crap out there on the internet. I don't know what's real and what isn't.
Yeah, I've seen videos on TikTok where it's like our parents are not that great at picking up AI, and it's like memes, and it's basically saying like, oh, my mom asked me if this video is AI, and it's like the most outrageous things out there that definitely are, but it's just kind of funny.
The rule of thumb I've kind of gone by is if try to re-explain what the video is, like explain to yourself what you're watching, and if it sounds as absurd as it looks, it's definitely AI. Like if there's a dog trying to teach you math, it's probably not real.
Well, yeah, but and the first thing of the stupid piggy falling off the truck is I'm like, it would have rolled over. It wouldn't have landed upright. It probably would have been injured, but the truck was going slow. It's like I'm explaining to myself how this could
be
true.
You're justifying it?
Yeah.
A lot of times, too, they'll actually put like hashtag AI at the bottom on some of those, too. Like if you're actually looking for it.
They have to?
Like certain people, like I know that like musicians, like when it's an AI generated musician, so it's like now that gets tagged on like Apple and Spotify, or when you're scrolling through social media, if there's an AI generated content, or at least it's supposed to be kind of flagged, so you know what you're supposed to be. It's supposed to be. They're trying to crack down on that more and more, and it's obviously there's too much to get it all, but they're trying, I guess.
And then the dead celebrities that I know is AI because they've passed on. But some of those are pretty great. I really have got to get a life. I've got to stop scrolling. If anybody has been duped by some AI, because I really was about the pig, and there was another one I sent to my boys. I'll check my history because I do this all the time, and they're very nice to me, and they're like, Mom, that's super cute, but it's AI. So 312-981-7200. We have got an action-packed short show, and we will get to that next here on 720 WGN. Wow, I am covered in goosebumps right now. We lost a legend, Dolly Rebecca Parton, has passed away. That happened the 25th, and I'm still a little bit in shock. And she was 80 years old. I hate to say this, I thought she was a little older. Not that she looks it, but isn't like Mick Jagger like 83 or something like that?
He is.
Yeah, okay. I for some reason thought Dolly was older than he was, but she was such a sweet, wonderful human being who had this little angel voice. And I know she had postponed or canceled a lot of her appearances, but I was so shocked. Weren't you?
Yeah, it was a real, she always just seemed so alive and so, you know, energetic and upbeat. You just never pictured her, you know, ever feeling bad.
Yeah, she was just something else. Her official obituary was released. She died peacefully August 25th in Nashville. And the obituary remembers Parton as a global icon and humanitarian whose seven-decade career stretched across music, film, television, theater, and writing. I was reading something about her dad had did not know how to read, so that's what inspired her to start her organization that I don't have in front of me right now. Where anyone could get books.
Imagination Library.
Thank you. And it's not, it mainly started for people in need, but then it's like she didn't care. Anyone who wanted something, she was able to help them. And the inspiration behind that was her dad never knew how to read. And she was amazing. Dolly Parton. When did she do that Purple Rain?
That was part of her rock album that came out in 2023. I think it's like her highest grossing album of all time still. The most recent one she did, where she did a whole bunch of like rock classics.
She really could do quite a bit. I haven't seen any AI Dolly yet. I'm sure it's all over.
I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah. That's going to be bad.
She was AI before there was AI, though. You know? With the wigs and the the operations and stuff like
right.
that.
Right, you say the operations. Let's just say it like it is, the boobs. She talked about that very frequently. And, I mean, I don't know how she stood up half the time because she was so top-heavy. And the heels on that woman, like, I don't know how she did it. And she really was a sweet little actress, too. I mean, singer, songwriter, actress, humanitarian. And I also read that, I don't know if it's come out just yet exactly what's going on. I know she had a type of cancer. And she, I think, from what I read, she knew that it was not going to go her way. So she totally said, let's do all the experimental drugs. I want to be able to help other people. So let's try this stuff and see if it works. So even in her last few days, what an unselfish woman. That is something to be admired and quite a legacy that Dolly Parton left.
She was always thinking of others.
Yeah, she was, which is totally the opposite of me. It really is, now that I think about it. And I've seen the first AI. Thank you, 847. It's a picture of Dolly Parton and a picture of Ozzy Osbourne, and it says, we've officially lost our light and our darkness. Oh, listeners, you kill me with this, honestly. And Eli, you said something to me. We're all over the board this first segment of the morning. That's what we do on Sundays. The Bears game yesterday, you started something because of that, right?
Yeah, my friends and I were sitting just watching a multitude of football games yesterday, and we were sitting around like eating pizza, and the idea to just start a fantasy league that night came up, and we decided that last night was the only night we were all going to be in the same room together, so we drafted spontaneously. And we were all kind of doing it more for the idea that there was going to be a fun punishment for whoever came in last place. And I wanted to run the punishment fight by you guys and see if this is a worthy punishment for a spontaneous fantasy league.
All right.
So the person that comes in last place, this is an 8-team league. Person that comes in last will have to sit in a dark closet wearing nothing but a headlamp on their head as their source of light, and they have to finish a 500-piece puzzle before they can come outside.
That is brutal.
Gosh. I love puzzles.
My roster is pretty good. I'm pretty confident in where I ended up. I ended up with the first pick last night, too, so I like my chances.
Who'd you take?
I took Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions running back, but I have my fair share of Bears. I reached on Colston Loveland, make sure he was on my team.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty safe pick this year, I think.
So I teamed him up with another tight end. I went two tight ends really early, but made sure other teams couldn't have theirs, so I took the best ones off the board. I have Caleb Williams floating around as a backup quarterback, so that's always good to have as an option.
Wow.
And so it's just the season starts in about a week and a half, so just can't wait until it all gets real.
All right. How did you get all these great players? This was your idea to spur of the moment, let's have a fantasy football league?
It sounds like it would be my idea. It was actually not, because okay. I'm not really a fantasy guy myself. It puts on way too much stress for me. I feel like I have to be right all the time about it, and I'm never right about
really?
It. I'm never right about it.
It's hard. It's hard to be right on that.
It really is. But I was just willing to... I thought the punishment was too funny to pass up, so even if I somehow this season fully falls apart for me and I have to do it, I'm willing to be a good sport. It sounds funny enough.
Okay, so you have to go in a dark room. Did you say a closet?
That's how we... pictured it, but it would have to be a dark room of some sort. Where
yeah.
The only light you have is a headlamp on your head.
I could do that, but I couldn't do it in a closet. I would get claustrophobic. As long as you could be in a dark room. I think that would be a great little challenge.
That just sounds... how long on average does it take somebody to do a 500-piece puzzle?
I don't know, but we're all Northwestern grads, so maybe we're quicker at it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't believe that for a minute. A couple of texts real quickly before we get to the 9:30 news. 913, why would anyone think Dolly Parton was healthy? She blindsided us? She did. I didn't think she was going to pass away. I mean, and I hate the expression, I didn't have that on my bingo card. I hate that, and everybody should stop saying that. But she kept saying she's doing just fine. So, yeah, she blindsided us. And 847 said about that record you were talking about, Eli. Dolly covered Shine by the band Collective Soul. I highly recommend giving it a listen. She puts a bluegrass twist on it and blows Collective Soul's version, the original, out of the water. So, yeah, let's play some of that Dolly Parton throughout the day. Maybe we'll do that for a rejoin coming up. In the meantime, no far-flung forecast today because Dave Schwann is off, and I'm sorry, that's his magic, and it goes with him where he goes. And I'm sure he doesn't want to phone it in because he's celebrating his birthday on a beach somewhere out east and enjoying himself with his girlfriend Gilda. So let's leave him alone. And when he returns, so will the far-flung forecast. But real live news coming your way with Rob LaFrenz next here on 720 WGN. A little Dolly doing Collective Soul's Shine. Thank you for that tip, listener. That was appreciated. It's Wendy Snyder here on a Sunday morning, and This Week in Health is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And let's say hello again to Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Norte Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Wheat.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. All right. We have a lot of things to discuss, and please, I don't want to run out of time to talk about that exercise pill. We were going to touch on that last week, but we did a lot of melanoma talk because mm-hmm. you have the answers to the questions that we have. And now the new questions that I have, and I think a lot of other people, are the whole connection with football and CTE. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening out there who have kids or grandkids that play football. Let's talk about that connection.
Yeah, this one is scary in my mind. There was a study that looked at many brains of deceased football players. And they were able to say that many of the football players had CTE. This is chronic trauma encephalopathy, and basically is damage in areas of the brain that is happening because of many head injuries. And when before they did these autopsies, it's difficult to distinguish from something like dementia or Alzheimer's. And of course, somebody might have both. But the area of the brain that was impacted by the damage creates these plaques that we're unable to see on imaging and causes many different things like confusion, behavior change, and it's really concerning for anyone who has repeated head injuries.
And kids are starting younger with football. I know a lot of them are doing touch or flag football, but mm-hmm. tackle football does come up as kids are younger. There are other sports, too, where there can be head injuries, and you can't keep your kid in a plastic bubble, but what do experts recommend about this? It is really scary.
Yeah, and the problem is we don't have there's not an exact number that's like this many head injuries is going to lead to whatever damage there is. So we don't have a good answer for all of that. I do think that many people are recommending that you try to limit the contact sports early on so that there's more time for the brain to develop. So like you said, sometimes people doing touch football or flag football as opposed to the tackle, especially early on. Another thing is that we really do know that we understand concussions better now. We understand return to play better. And so really listening to your doctor's or trainer's or physical therapist's advice if your child does or grandchild has a head injury, and really not returning too soon, because it is also possible that if you have another injury on top of that, that can make it worse. But we don't have great answers about limitations and what we should completely be avoiding.
Yeah, I'm thankful my kids weren't interested in football. 'Cause I mean, you know, if a kid wants to play something, I mean, hockey can have some injuries as well. And MMA is a mixed martial arts big thing now, boxing. So, maybe better head protection but these football players have protective helmets and it's still showing up. So that doesn't seem to be helping.
That's right. And they are trying to develop better helmets, but it's still a risk. Same thing. I don't want to just blame football. Like you said, there's other sports that have contact in them, other things that we do, even like riding a bike and falling. That's why it's so important to have a helmet. There's other reasons for head injuries. So really just wanting to protect our heads whenever we can.
Yes, we have to do that. All right. Well, that was concerning to me that I came across in the news. And you know, Dolly Parton, we had talked about, she had a brief illness. We found out later it was cancer. It hasn't been revealed yet what type of cancer. But unfortunately, cancer has or will affect either someone listening or someone they know, because it's everywhere. And now there's a link between sugary drinks and stomach cancer. What can we eat anything or drink anything anymore?
So the interesting thing about this this study that I saw was that it was comparing people who had sugary drinks every single day to people who had sugary drinks less than once a month. There is a big wide range in between there. But I think I will say what we always talk about, in that it is really moderation that's important. So I don't want you having sugary drinks every single day. But if you have them every once in a while, that's okay. We do still have to enjoy life. And then sometimes choosing things that maybe aren't sugary, like, can you get a similar flavor if you have water and squeeze a little bit of fruit juice in it, like squeeze a little bit of an orange or a lemon in there to try to hit some of that sweet taste as well. It's just try to avoid it every single day. There's not clear answers that it's a direct link. It's just associated. And so there might be other things going on there. So more has to come from that study.
Yeah, but I just, stomach cancer, you think, don't smoke, don't have too much alcohol. I'm a Diet Coke drinker. That's going to give me something someday. I don't know what that is. And now regular Coke, we're doomed. I mean, I know all things in moderation, but I have a couple of sodas every single day. Now, granted, they're diet, but that's a whole different story. But it's hard to have one Coca-Cola a month.
It is hard to do, which is why I say if you can find some other things in there, then maybe that would be great. But it is hard to do. I agree.
All right. And 708 says soccer is another big sport with head injuries. And that's true. I didn't even think of that because, you know, you don't wear helmets and there is a lot of moving around. So more on that as it develops, but we will stay on top of that CTE study that's going on. All right. I got to talk about this exercise pill because it just intrigues me. And I know it's in its experimental stages, but it's like you have GLP-1s to help you lose your appetite and lose pounds, and now an exercise pill that allegedly is going to recreate the benefits of exercise without exercising. So are we going to truly become the laziest people in all the land?
So I think that there's always the concern that if it's too good to be true, that's probably real. So the way that I understand this exercise pill is that it can help in a similar way to the GLP-1s. What this does is it stimulates a different hormone. And it makes your body think that it has been exercising. And so by doing that, it makes you less hungry, because a lot of times when people exercise, they don't feel hungry right away. I have to say, I'm not always one of those people. I still get hungry sometimes after I exercise. But it's supposed to help in that way, and decrease the amount that you're eating. And it looks like it's supposed to have fewer side effects potentially than the GLP-1. It's supposed to not have the same stomach upset side effects that the GLP-1s have, and maybe not as much concerns to the bone loss. I do think this could be exciting. I don't think it's going to completely remove the need for activity. We still need physical activity for our mental health, for our heart health, and other things. But it is always helpful to have more tools in our toolbox as we are trying to help people battle obesity and all of the chronic conditions that come with it.
Boy, we can take a pill to lose weight. We can take a pill to get the benefits of exercise. And I think in just a minute after we take a break, we're going to talk about a pill that could maybe help you grow hair. We're all going to be beautiful, aren't we?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. 312-981-7200. Do you have a question for Dr. Wheat? We're here for you, 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here on a Sunday morning, and we have Dr. Santina Wheat on the line, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. And let's just get right to it. There are a lot of people that are losing their hair, male and female. There are things to try before you maybe go and do a hair transplant or something like that. There are some pills out there that people take. I believe minoxidil comes in pill form or foam form. There's a pill called finasteride. And now there's a common drug that is going to offer new hope for people with hair loss. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so there have been some studies that have been done on a medication that's currently used for rheumatoid arthritis, is what it's mainly used for. And this makes a lot of sense, actually, because many people who have hair loss do have hair loss because of their immune systems. In addition to the things that you've already mentioned, we also end up using steroids a lot for people that have especially like patches of hair loss, which makes us think that it's an autoimmune condition, at least in some people. And so in studies, this medication, which I'm not very good at saying, but Rinvoq is the brand name, and it's upadacitinib, I believe is how you say the generic, has been shown to be used specifically for folks who have hair loss, as I mentioned, in those patchy spaces. And this is really exciting because when people have those patches, which we called alopecia areata, it really is, it is a frustrating disease. And many people find themselves pulling their hair in different spaces to hide it and just becoming very aware of it and embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
And so it is great if we can give them something to help restore that hair growth and hopefully help their bodies just let them feel better in their own skin.
How does it come about that doctors figure out other uses for medication? I know my son Dylan, who has epilepsy, takes lamotrigine, which is an anti-seizure medication. But then I know other people who take that for, like, regulating their mood.
Absolutely. And I think that that's it. It's really as we are using it in the real world, we see unexpected benefits of it. Another example of that is we've talked a lot about GLP-1s on the show and all of the different things that were coming out as benefits of it. It's very similar. As we use it in the real world, we just start to notice these patterns. And then fortunately, somebody will take the time to study it, and then we're able to use it for those things as well.
It's fascinating. I love this thing called science, you know? It's amazing. All right. And so that's something to look out for if you're suffering from hair loss. Another thing that, I know supplements are not usually the way to go, and the best way to get something is the actual food. And fiber is very important. Can we talk about regularity for a minute? I just wanted to say, it's poop talk, okay? Whatever. I'm just going to say that everybody has a different system of eliminating. There are people that go once a day. There are people that go four times a day. There are people that go three times a week. And it just depends on your body. But a lot of times a doctor will say, listen, if you'd like to be more regular, a fiber supplement is the way to go. Is there a better time of day or night to take it?
You know, there isn't. It really depends on the individual and what they're trying to get out of their fiber. I will just start by saying most of us do not get enough fiber. And so I encourage everybody to increase it in their diet and or use a supplement because most of us aren't getting enough in our diets. Some people really benefit from having fiber before they eat. Particularly if they are trying to lose weight, because that allows them to feel more full before they eat, and so then they eat less, and that just sort of helps naturally with weight loss because they're taking in fewer calories. And then some people find that if they take fiber at a certain part of the day, then they have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and then don't want to do that. And so move it to a different time of day. Usually I recommend doing it when you're going to remember. So many people are going to remember first thing in the morning as opposed to right before they go to bed when they might fall asleep. But really there's no perfect time to take fiber. There's no right time. It's really about what works for your life and what allows you to feel better.
I have recently started taking a vitamin D supplement. I did have a physical with blood work. First time ever, my cholesterol level was 179. I have never had it below 200 ever. I have statin drugs to thank for that because my whole family has very high cholesterol. It is hereditary, correct?
It is, yes. For many people.
Yeah. Yes. It turns out that this particular blood test, my insurance did cover the vitamin D testing. It didn't last time. It did this time, and I was pretty low. So my doctor said 2,000 milligrams a day, and I was trying to read something on when's a good time to take it. I read that vitamin D3 is fat soluble, so it's good to take it with some kind of fat. So I've been taking it at night with my statin medications because I figure, you know, I've eaten throughout the day. And is that a good time to take it? Do you take vitamin D with fatty foods?
It makes sense. I would say as long as you're going to remember to take it. And so taking it with your statins because you're going to remember is a good idea, in my opinion. And I also think that sometimes people will take it with other things that have vitamin D in it just because it reminds them. But again, just remembering to take it. And vitamin D is one of those things, especially for us in Chicago, that I recommend most people get because most of us don't get enough of it with our sunshine and dairy in our diet.
So my doctor suggested I take 2,000 IUs. Now, what if some of my family members want to take it thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm probably depleted in that too. Is that too much for someone who hasn't had the levels verified?
If somebody is lower, or if somebody is unsure if they're lower or not and just want to start taking it, I usually recommend starting at 1,000 units.
Okay.
Or 1,000 international units. And so, but if somebody is known to have vitamin D deficiency, then I do go up higher. Sometimes we even go higher than the 2,000 units, but it is reasonable to do 1 to 2,000, and that can be helpful. We don't want to take more than 4,000 units daily over a long period of time. That can actually cause too much calcium in your body. I know we're talking about vitamin D and not calcium, but it changes how you absorb it. We don't want you to have things like kidney stones, so we don't want too much, but usually 1 to 2,000 a day is just fine.
Okay, and someone had a question about alopecia. And it's interesting, I don't know if we have the answer today, but why do certain nationalities have a tendency to have alopecia, like Italians? I know many that are losing their hair, including the women. Does it have something to do with European or your heredity or something like that?
That's a great question that I have never heard that link to it before. It's something I'm happy to look into for next time. I will say that there's two main types of hair loss that we generally talk about. One is the generalized hair loss, and that tends to be hereditary. So it would make sense that many people in a similar family would have that. I usually say look to your maternal grandfather, so your mother's father, to see if there was hair loss. And then as a woman, you might have it too. And then there's the alopecia areata, which is the one that's the big spots on your scalp, which is what that medication we talked about helped. So some of it absolutely is genetic, and so that would make sense.
All right. Well, that does make a lot of sense. 630. Thank you, Wendy, for confessing to drinking Diet Coke and that drinking one a month isn't going to cut it. I also have to have something to order when out since I don't drink, due to migraines. So I know all things in moderation, but sometimes the moderation's kind of hard.
100% it is. 100%. There's things that I try to stay away from myself, and sometimes it's a losing battle. Last night it was the cookie skillet with my kids. It sounds hard.
A cookie skillet's pretty rough. And I don't know. I normally drink Miller Lite. I like my Miller Lite, but for summertime, I've been really hooked on these peach high noons and, you know, all things in moderation. And, if you're drinking, don't drive, but boy, they are refreshing. Thank you.
It
so
is nice to have those cold drinks when it's so hot out.
Isn't
Especially
it?
Especially this week as we're getting to the 90s again. Yep.
I know. We have had such gorgeous weather. It was so nice not to have humidity for a while. My hair didn't frizz up, but we're getting back into it. So hydrate, people. That's your advice, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. We learned so much from you, Dr. Wheat. We appreciate it.
Have a great week.
You as well. She's Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital in Geneva, and she really helps us every week. All right, still to come on this very show, I don't know if any of you people watch Big Brother, but that is my guilty pleasure. They received two Guinness World Records this past week, and we're going to talk to a cast member from season number one. We'll check in with George Boswell. You may remember him as Chicken George. And we're also going to talk to two young filmmakers, Max and Gabby Fitzpatrick, about their new film coming up. But right now, it's news time from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here's Rob LaFrenz. All right, it's Wendy here. It's Sunday morning, and we love to play this game. It's called Two Truths and Eli.
That is right. Two Truths and Eli is the name of the game. I have prepared three brand new stories for today's edition of the game. And your job, Wendy, Tony, Rob, if you're in there, the entire listeners, please text in with your result, with your response, 1, 2, or 3, to find which one of these next three stories is the fake one. One more time, I find three real stories, or two of them are real. One of them is fake. I should know the name of my own game.
Yeah. And the premise behind it. And yeah. Rob, is this the first time you're playing Two Truths and Eli?
This is my first time. I've been looking forward to it.
Okay, we have
good.
A debut. I'm
all
excited
right.
for this one. We have, and you got some great players with you, Rob. You're in good hands.
All right.
We've lost almost every week, but we picked the fake story, and listeners are usually right, and we're usually right.
So I highly suggest going with the listeners. So I'm going to read all three of the stories in a row. Once I finish the third one, then we'll open up the text line. Everyone submit your answers, and then we can open up some questions as well, see if you can trip me up on any of these stories.
312-981-7200, text 1, 2, or 3, which you think the fake story is.
So without further ado, here is story number one. A popular rideshare service is updating its rating system so a customer's star rating and fare are weighted more heavily based on their ability to hold small talk. According to a recent study, since the pandemic, there has been an increase in nearly 30% in people feeling unsafe in their ride, and they chalk that up to a lack of feeling of community in their cars. Drivers have taken to online forums to voice confusion, with several noting how they feel pressure to ask about somebody's day with the enthusiasm of a game show host to avoid a rating dip. One driver said he started keeping a list of safe topics laminated on his dashboard just in case. Riders, meanwhile, they're split. Some say that they appreciate a friendly chat during the commute, and others say they've started faking phone calls before they even get in the car just to get ahead of it. The service has not clarified how the algorithm defines good small talk, though sources say weather-related comments score surprisingly low for effort. It's only a matter of time before you can pay a premium for silent mode.
All right, I just have to jump in and say really quickly, I will talk to whoever will listen to me, so I always get into a conversation with an Uber driver. Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay.
That's story number one. Here's the second one. Police in Egypt are on the search for a gang who successfully pulled off a Fast and Furious type maneuver where they robbed a moving truck of over 200 pounds of chicken. In a video posted online by a passing car, the gang pulled up in their pickup truck to the back of a transportation truck, then climbed onto the hood where one by one they plopped bags of frozen chicken into the bed of the pickup. The driver of the delivery truck had no idea the heist was even happening, only finding out when he saw the video on social media himself. Police launched an investigation and tracked them down on the highway, and our robbers may have counted their chickens before they hatched, as the suspects are now facing charges of armed robbery. Although it was a crew who clearly knew how to wing it, there's no chickening out of the sentence they'll get.
Okay, that's story number two.
Here's the third one. In a schoolyard encounter gone wrong, a dad in Australia was beaten up by a pack of MMA-trained 12-year-olds after he tried to confront one of them for bullying his daughter. Obviously, bullying is a situation no parent wants to see their kid go through, and standing up to bullies is encouraged, but it's a separate issue when you misidentify the oppressor and end up on the wrong set of sparring practice. This particular situation broke down when the father of a young girl approached the group of children where he claimed were going after her and threatened them with obscene gestures, but it turns out one of them, he identified the wrong bully when an MMA-trained bystander interfered and ended the altercation. We don't know what injuries the man suffered just yet besides a bruised ego, but it's safe to say the next career day just got a whole lot more interesting at that school.
All right. The Uber driver story,
none of these are really sticking out at me, though, so I don't know.
We have a popular rideshare service updating its rating system, so your small talk is worth more in the car. We have an Egyptian gang who has robbed a pickup truck of 200 pounds of chicken.
That's true.
And a Australian father who got beat up by some schoolyard bullies because he misidentified who the actual bullies were and picked a fight with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, part of me thinks that robbery's true as well, Wendy.
Yeah, I do, too. Here's why. Eli is better. He's a better writer than, oh, they counted the chickens before they hatched. So I think that is a true story.
There was a lot of puns in there.
The bully. You know, oh,
I really want that first one to be true because I get my friends and family comments about how I can't not talk to the Uber driver. I always start a conversation.
Me too.
And I would, if I could get some points for that or props or some discounts, whatever, that'd be great. I'm in. So I'm hoping that that's true.
I think that's true also.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, but I also, at the same time, I think it's not.
Oh, okay. So you think that's the lie?
I think that's the lie, yeah. I want it to be true, but I think that that's the lie just because I think in most cases the drivers don't want to talk to you either. So,
yeah, I'm kind of leaning with Rob on that one.
You think that's the lie? All right, I'll go with you guys.
The listeners are pretty split on this one, too. I'm seeing answers all across the board. So how about we try to eliminate one of these first to help this help maybe narrow down the choice?
All right.
It seems like you guys were all pretty set that this encounter with the schoolyard bullies was in fact true. So why don't I take you all the way across the world and see what happened in Australia? So that was a real story. Story number three was real. So we're down to a 50-50.
But somebody just texted now and said three is the lie. No, that we just, there's proof in the pudding that that's the real one. All right, so 50-50 chance here.
50-50. We're down to the rideshare service that's updated its rating system, so small talk is worth a whole lot more, and the Egyptian gang that had robbed a truck with a whole lot of chickens on the line.
I'm going to stick with my coworkers and number one, the small talking Uber driver.
Even though the robbery kind of seems like a movie-like robbery.
Doesn't it? Totally. Like, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch. God, if that's Eli's, I'm so sorry.
Well, why don't I take you out to Egypt and we explore together this video from the highway in Cairo. It's hard to explain what's also happening because there's in a different language, they're on the highway, but this is the, in fact, video, this plopping you hear right now. That's not just the wind. That is actual bags of chicken that are flying onto the back of a pickup truck, and you hear the sound effects that are hitting it. They're just plopping one by one. This is a real highway robbery. You hear the honks of the horns. Story number two is real. You have successfully found the fake story. The small talk in the Uber is fake. Congratulations,
Wendy.
The losing streak is over. Rob, you are the ringer this group needed. You got them a win today.
Love it. Great.
Beginner's luck, Rob.
Oh, like I said, I still wish it was true, though, because, like I said, I can't keep quiet when I get in the car.
I'll talk to anyone.
I had a phenomenal conversation in my Uber last night. The driver was in a band. He said he was just doing a couple rides in between. He was starting a set
After
he was done with my ride. So I guess that was the last one before he was performing. He said he performed a whole bunch of instruments, and I got everything from him except the name of his band.
Oh, no.
The most important thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Uber driver, if you're listening right now, that is a conscientious person.
But that sparked the story last night. I just wrote it down when I was in the back seat of the car. I was like, this would make a fun story for tomorrow morning. And then I also wanted to have some fun writing some chicken puns. So I did put those together to kind of intentionally make it seem a little cornier. So you saw through that one too.
Yeah. Well, you're always working, man, aren't you?
I got to find something.
All right. Well, congrats to us and to the listeners who picked number one being the fake story.
Well done, everybody.
Yeah, Rob, I really, I thought that was true, but you swayed me. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine being rated on your conversation in the Uber? I think that'd be hilarious to think like what the driver thought about your conversation.
Yeah,
I always wonder did they really want to talk to me that entire ride?
Oh, I make them talk to me. They have to talk to me. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll do some more other fun stuff. I have an experiment I'd like you guys to all try. We'll do that next here on 720 WGN. That sweet angel voice of Dolly Parton. Is that Kenny Rogers with her? I'm embarrassed.
I believe
that,
so.
Yeah, it is. I'm embarrassed to know a lot of these words. Sorry.
It's a great song. It's amazing.
It is. I also read somewhere that she wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same day.
I heard that.
What? Oh, she was something else. We lost Dolly Parton, 80 years old, on the 25th of August. We were talking about Uber drivers. 815 says, as a former Uber driver, I will say most conversations are welcome, especially on longer drives, even if it's just for a few minutes. Heck, I'll take... Hang on, I gotta scroll this down. I'll take good conversation over tips some days. Really? Don't tell me
that.
It just breaks the monotony and provides a small little bit of joy to the drudgery of driving. You know, we have some themes going around today. I've just kind of put all this together. We were talking about, we did something earlier that tied into something. And then we're talking about Uber drivers, and my former radio partner and a great Chicago legend, artist, Tony Fitzpatrick, passed away last October, and his offspring, Gabby and Max, have made a film, and it's called Driven, and it's about a rideshare driver and how he goes through life. That's weird that this is coming together.
When we were watching the screening of this short film ahead of today, I got really nervous knowing what was coming up in Two Truths and a Lie, knowing I had a story about an Uber driver ready to go. So I was just trying to stay quiet myself until we got to 10 o'clock this morning when I could do the story without any overlap. So I was happy that there was a happy coincidence there, but it definitely wasn't planned.
Yeah. Well, I thought there was something else that we talked about that I don't know. I can't keep anything straight anymore because I want to try this experiment. I teased it. Now we're going to do it. We're all going to. I get alerts on my phone for breaking news and also stupid things. And a stupid alert I got this morning was you can't hum while holding your nose. Yeah, I subscribe to a lot of crazy sites.
I think we all just tried it.
But well,
I saw Tony do it.
Yeah. I did try it, and I feel I'm
can't do it.
Well, you can make noise, but the reason all right, let me explain this. I'm like, okay, I can hum. I'm gonna now do this. So I guess that's not really humming. So if you hum and then you plug your nose, you can't hum. And it's physically impossible to hum while pinching your nose. I know everybody's trying it to understand why humming, which we often associate with the mouth, would be affected by the nose. Oh, my nose is running. I'm sorry. Hang on. you'd think it's coming from the mouth, and why would it be affected by the nose? Let's look at the anatomy of our vocal folds. Whoever thought we'd be discussing vocal folds on a Sunday morning? They're your vocal cords, and they're delicate bands of muscle located in the larynx. It's your voice box. When relaxed, meaning when we're quiet, which is never for me, our vocal folds resemble a wishbone. But when we speak, sing, yell, grunt, whisper, and hum, we send air up from the lungs and through that little wishbone, the voice box. Simultaneously, those thin bands of muscle contract together as if the open end of the wishbone has snapped shut. Now, in reality, our vocal folds move in a wave-like pattern, vibrating against one another in varying frequencies that allow us to speak, sing, shout, and murmur. The faster our folds vibrate together, the higher the pitch. The slower, the lower. That's so fascinating. We might think of humming as a sound that emanates from our mouth and lips, but we actually produce this sound by sending air from the voice box to the nasal cavity and out through the nostrils. So when we pinch our noses, there's nowhere for the air to travel, and the vibration and corresponding sound stops. This also explains why pinching your nose mid-hum might make you feel like something's caught in the back of your throat. I didn't feel that. That's the air trying to find a way out. Another good way to test this theory is to hum when you're congested. Depending on how blocked your nostrils are, you might not be able to hum at all, or you might even feel the mucus in your nose trying to move around in the attempts to let air escape your nostrils. It's gross, but interesting. And I think everybody tried it, and no one was successful.
I was not.
Ah, oh, I really am. My nose is running now. All right. Well, these are the alerts I get on my phone, and I have some other ones that maybe I'll discuss later. You know, when you're on the radio, you like to find interesting stories to talk about and interesting experiments, and that's what we do here on WGN. Still to come, after Rob LaFrenz's news, you don't watch Big Brother, do you, Rob?
No, I do not. I watched the first couple seasons and have tuned out since then.
I am embarrassed to say I've watched at least... I think there were a couple seasons I only watched a little bit, but 28 seasons of Big Brother. And listeners, I know some of you guys watch it because the ratings on that thing pretty high. So we're going to talk to a guy who was on season one. He was referred to as Chicken George. He's George Boswell. I believe he's from Indiana, and he was called Chicken George because on the first season of Big Brother, they actually had live chickens, and they didn't cook them and eat them, but they did get eggs from them. They had to work a little harder for their food and things back then, and the game has changed, but Julie Chen has been there the whole time, now Julie Chen Moonves, and they just had a reunion and made history. Two Guinness World Records for a show that everybody makes fun of me for watching. So we'll talk to George Boswell after the news, and a couple of Fitzpatricks will be coming your way after the 11 o'clock news to talk about their new film, Driven, Max and Gabby Fitzpatrick. And news coming your way right now on 720 WGN. I am not Julie Chen Moonves. I am Wendy Snyder. And let's say hello to one of our favorite house guests from season number one of Big Brother, George Boswell. You may remember him as Chicken George. Hey, George.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to be on your show this beautiful, beautiful morning, okay?
All right. I love you. You were on season one, then you came back for the first All-Stars episode. And yes. Big Brother, first of all, you're from Rockford, right?
Yes. All right. Still here, too.
You're still there. What are you doing now, George?
I work for Mecum Classic Car Auctions. We're the largest collector car auction in the world, where I'm a bidder's assistant. I take care of people in the audience, and I work with the auctioneers.
Oh, that is a cool job.
It's not a job. What I do is not a job. Not only do I get to see the finest automobiles in the world, but I have fantastic people that I'm able to work with. It's what Big Brother has done for me has been unbelievable. It has opened up so many doors, but this door that I opened up with Mecum Classic Car Auction is been one of the best. I'm a very blessed person.
Well, that's really sweet, and I did want to talk to you about Big Brother because you are on season number one. I've watched every episode, 28 seasons, at least portions mm-hmm. of every episode, every season. Mm-hmm. And when we first saw Big Brother come on the air, we didn't know what to expect, George. It was like a social experiment. Did you have 10 house guests that started in season number one?
That is correct, yes.
I think now they're up to 16, but yes, so 10 house correct. Guests, people from all walks of life, different ages. Are you the oldest one who's played Big Brother?
I'm proud. No, there was a guy named Jerry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Older than me.
All right.
And I believe Jerry would probably be first, but I would be right up there, yes.
Okay, but you were the oldest in your group that was the season number one.
Yes, and there was a gal named Karen that was pretty close to me, too, yes.
All right.
Yes, I was the oldest one in the house.
So it was, as a viewer, it was interesting to watch because, you know, we all think, oh, yeah, we could live in a house with people for three months. And it is a lot, isn't it?
The hardest part, too, is, yes, you know, when you first get in there, you're all full of enthusiasm, excitement, and everything else like this. But as time goes on, you are just in there with these people. Keep in mind, you have no outside contact whatsoever with the outside world. So you don't know nothing that is going on out there. And then after a while, you're with these people, and it's like, oh, my God. And then the funny part about it is when people go into the house, they're at their best behavior.
Yeah. Okay?
But as time goes on, the real true people start to come out in them. As you watch the show, you can see that developing. And that's why, especially going down to the end, you'll actually see people start to break down because not the confinement issues, but the pressure, okay, am I going to get kicked off, thrown off, whatever have you. But watch it towards the end, and you'll see a lot of them just like, fall apart, basically.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because there are a lot of tears in Big Brother, but it's emotionally draining. You're basically with strangers. You get to know these people, but do you really know them? And I think the biggest thing to make you cry is there's only one bathroom.
And you want to know the kicker? There is a camera directly above the toilet.
I thought that was illegal. I thought you can't have things like that in the private areas.
Well, they do. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because they don't want people going into the toilet and having conversations.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
That they can't hear. And it's also the same with the shower. Okay, in the shower, there is a camera directly above the shower. If you think you can escape and hide from the cameras, you are totally wrong. They have every angle covered. So, no, you cannot escape the cameras whatsoever.
All right. And about that, it's not illegal if, you know, people who enter the house, you guys sign something and you're aware of the fact that there are cameras everywhere, which leads me to another question. Obviously, you're watching this season, 28, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm hate-watching, George. There were a lot of people that I really didn't care about or like at the very beginning, and now I've been sucked in a little bit, and you start determining who you're vying for and who you like, and it's been a crazy season of house guests. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. See, my favorite was Mallory, and she got the boot Thursday night. She was a rock. I'm in a little group where we pick who do we think we're going to enter. Well, I looked at her. She's a rocket scientist.
I know.
Okay. Yeah, a rocket. And you want to know what happened to her? And you know, she blew that competition because...
Yeah, she was up for a head of household competition, and it appears that she threw it because she didn't want the decision of... Basically, it's 16 people living in a house. You have competitions, and you get eliminated. So there's one person standing at the end of it win $750,000. But when you win the head of household... You know, to use the phrase from Big Brother, you get blood on your hands because you have to put someone up. You have to nominate someone to be evicted. And, you know, people get hurt by that.
Correct. They get close to one another.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they don't want to hurt them. But you got to realize when you're in the house, you got to start thinking, and you got to go in there with this attitude is, I'm here in here to win the $750,000. If I've got to, you know, I've got to do what I've got to do to in order to make that happen. When she threw that competition on Thursday night, I was very disappointed because, in my opinion, she could have gone very, very deep in the game. Yes.
I think the bottom line, because we watch it, our whole family watches it, and it's like, oh, you know, you went against your friend. I'm like, these aren't your friends. You have...
No, they're not.
No, and you have allies, and you work with people, but the bottom line is you're your own best friend. You're trying to get to the end to win the $750,000.
Wendy, you need to go on the show.
You know, George,
you have got it down, Wendy. You got it down.
I have thought about this. I really have. But here's the deal. I would win people over at the very beginning, but I think they would get so annoyed with me that I would get voted out fairly quickly.
Wendy, you never know. Look at one of the seasons where, you know, Evil Dick Donato, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look at what all he did walking around. I mean, he would just rip people apart, beating up pots and pans and the whole nine yards. But guess what? In the end, he won. Okay? He won.
Now, let me ask you something. He did win. And when you guys did season number one, weren't we the viewers voting for who was evicted?
That is absolutely correct. And what ended up happening was this. The people voted... what would you say, the most obnoxious people up early? Well, that kind of made like for not interesting television.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's why I started to create all these characters, do all this different stuff and everything else like this, because I was looking at it like a viewer. What I would really want to be watching, just watching people at a table sitting around eating or meaningless conversation.
Yeah.
It's really not, it don't make good television. So that's why they had to, you know, go to a different format. And I'll have to admit this, it was an experiment. You got to understand, Big Brother 1 was a total experiment because it was brought over from the Netherlands, okay?
Oh.
Yes. I actually had dinner with... Doug Ross, he was with Endemol. He was the first original producer with Evolution Film and Tape. I had him, I had dinner with him on Wednesday night, and he was talking about it. He goes, we were an experiment, okay, to see what we can do or how we can fine-tune the show and to make it better. And that's exactly what they've done now, yes.
All right, George, hold your thoughts for just a second. We're going to take a break, and then you were at the prime time special, the 1,000th episode of Primetime Big Brother. I saw you there in your checkerboard blazer. You're looking sharp, and I want to get some behind-the-scenes chit-chat. So hold your thought, and listeners, if you have any questions for George Boswell, Chicken George from Big Brother Season 1, 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. He is George Boswell listening to himself from season one of Big Brother, Chicken George. Now, you guys had chickens out in the backyard, hence your name. You took care of them to get eggs to eat, right?
That is absolutely correct. And the reason why I fell into that, see, in Big Brother 1, they wanted to take you back to, how would you say, basic times, okay?
Yeah.
Where we had no washing machine, no dryer, no nothing, okay? Well, they had the chickens there, of course, to, you know, to... where you could get the eggs in and everything else like this. It was kind of like a prop for the show, too, okay?
Yeah.
We also had a guard. We also had a garden, but the garden died within a, you know, within a week. But anyway, I was raised on a farm. Well, I knew how to take care of animals, okay? So I ended up taking care of the chickens, feeding them, whatever that they needed, and that's how it developed into the Chicken George name. Yes, I took care of the chickens. And you want to know what? The chickens were about the only thing that wasn't a pain in there.
See, as a viewer, I think we're like, oh, yeah, they're all getting along. Like, showmances to me are so stupid. Lyric and Rome got together. They knew each other for 2 weeks. He was eliminated. Then she was evicted. And they're getting together. I mean, you can crush on someone, but it's weird to feel like you get to know someone in a 2 week time span.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But did you know how many people that have gotten married off of that show, though?
Do you know how many? We have Jeff and what's her name that everybody loves?
Jordan.
Jeff and Jordan. Adorable.
Okay. There was another couple after that there. And I believe there was another one after that there. They kind of showed the proposals on the show, and I don't quite remember. But yes, there has actually been some marriages that have taken place from the show.
Yeah, Rachel Riley, of course, married someone from the show. So you were there with all these former house guests.
Yay!
So who did you talk to? Who was nice? What any gossip you can give us from the big primetime special?
Okay. Let me back up on how all this played out too. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I got in touch every year. I do this. I got in touch with a guy named Don Woolman. He's still a producer on the show. He was there in Big Brother 1. I told him congratulations on a new season for you. You know, he's in his 70s now and he's still doing a television show because he likes doing it, but whatever. He sent me back an email and he goes, George, you're not going to believe this. Big Brother is going to go into the 1,000th episode. And I go, no. I go, no. And he goes, yes. And no primetime television show, okay, besides the soaps, have ever, ever done 1,000 episodes. And I'm thinking, well, I got to go to this, okay? Yes. Hey, if I had to drive my car way out there, I would have done it. But anyway, it was going down to first part of August, and every house guest that had done the show got an invitation, okay? You were invited to the 1,000 episode show. And I go, awesome. So I started making my travel arrangements and everything else like this. But what I didn't realize, though, is this. I forgot all about it. The actual studio where you see the show at only has seats for about 25 to 30 people.
Oh.
Okay, and I go, well, I'm Big Brother number one. I'm the old man from way back. How are they going to do this, okay? Because I really don't want to, you know, buy a ticket and just go to the after-show party, which was great anyway. So I get there, and I fill out everything, you know, your releases and everything. And they took me into a holding area, and I was one of the fortunate ones. Out of there was 160 people actually showed up.
Wow!
I was one of the fortunate one that had a seat to actually watch the primetime show. I was very, very honored that I was selected to do that.
It was because of your checkered jacket. They wanted to show that on camera.
Well, hey, you know, I know how to word things, okay? But the other ones, they had them in it was like a warehouse, and they had big screen television all throughout the warehouse, and they were watching it in there. And then, okay, when the show was over, okay, actually CBS, the network, had this huge party. I mean, it was huge. And it's the first time I've ever seen this done. I've been to many, many after parties. The CBS, the executives were all there.
Oh, that's great. We only have a couple minutes left, though. I just want to make sure you get all your info in, George.
Okay. Keep in mind, Guinness's Book of World Records.
Yep.
Big Brother's in it.
Yeah, I know. Twice.
Big Brother is in that. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Big Brother, 1,000th episode, won a Guinness a World Record. And, mm-hmm. you know, George, you got to expect the unexpected. Every time we watch this show, we always wait for Julie to turn to the camera after her intro and say, but first. So, who do you think's going to win this new season?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what. It's going to be one of the Survivor players afraid of. Yes. They're dominating it. You know, they're just totally dominating the show. They've got their alliances. I look for the two Survivor people to be in the end. The one gal and one Survivor, and keep in mind, she got $2 million.
Okay? D is her name, yeah. Yes.
Because I would be looking at that as, okay, going down a stretch. I said, this gal's already won $2 million. She don't need another $750,000. That'd be just my opinion.
But I'm with you. It's like, and there was a best winner category, the best player of all time, Dan Giesling from Dearborn, Michigan. And he said, you know, don't really want a Survivor player to win Big Brother, but if that's what happens, he just likes the game, and that's what's going to happen. I think I'm putting my money on, I don't know if it's Dee or Devins.
I'm looking for Dee, I have to say.
Yeah, I'd like Dee to win.
I have to say, I'm looking for her to go all the way. Now that my pick got kicked out, okay, I'm going to roll with her. Okay, Wendy?
All right, George, can we talk after the finale and see if we're right?
Wendy, you do not even have to ask me that question. You're more than welcome to call me up, and I would gladly speak to you about the winner. Okay, Wendy?
Excellent. George Boswell, Chicken George, anyone you ran into real quickly that you had a great time saying hi to, a former house guest?
Yes. You remember Howie?
Yes.
Okay, me and Howie, we were roommates. We actually got a hotel room. I got a king bed. You know, I got two king beds, but his body's so long. His feet were way off the bed. I go, oh, I'm sorry, Howie. I should have got you a bigger bed. But, yes, I had a wonderful time with Howie.
Excellent. All right, George Boswell. George, we'll talk to you as Big Brother 28 wraps up. Thank you for being our eyes and ears. Great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. He's an auctioneer. I love that guy. All right. We're going to talk about a film you can see at the Chicago Underground Film Fest done by Max and Gabby Fitzpatrick. But news coming your way next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I hate talking over this. It's so cool. Hi there. It's Wendy Snyder, and joining me right now, a couple of people I haven't seen in a while, Maxwell Fitzpatrick, Gabrielle Fitzpatrick. Let's just say hi to Max and Gabby. Hi, guys.
Hi, Wendy.
Hey.
How are you?
All right. Let me give a little history here. I worked at the Loop radio station, and I was on the FM side playing music. And all of a sudden, I was going to do a talk show, and they partnered me with this guy, Tony Fitzpatrick. I loved working with your dad, you guys, but we fought like brothers and sisters.
I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. Poor you. Oh, my God.
He was a wonderful, lovely, lovely man. But anyone who's worked with him can tell you it was not necessarily a cakewalk.
Well, no, not always.
Right.
And
yeah, I did a podcast with him, and I think every episode before we'd record, we'd be like, no, it's got to happen like this. It's got to happen like that. And then once we'd start, it, you would have never thought we were fighting 5 minutes before the recording of it.
Well, he was beloved. I mean, everyone in Chicago had a story about Tony Fitzpatrick. I talked to him in 2024. There's an interview up at WGNradio.com. It says Catching Up with Artist Tony Fitzpatrick. And I was talking to him about what was going on, his love of the Sox, his hate for the Yankees. And then he had said that my kids are working on a movie. And I said, Tony, I have to get him on the air to talk about it. Let me know when it's done. We lost Tony in October of last year. I was unable to go to his sensational send-off because I had the flu. My husband was in the hospital with pneumonia, and I just am so sorry I missed that. But I'm going to hold true to my promise to have you guys on the air to talk about Driven. I love this movie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having us. This is full circle right here.
Yeah. Gabby?
Thank you so much. Sorry. And to your point, there will be many opportunities in the future to celebrate his life. So stay tuned. We will never stop celebrating him. But thank you so much. We're so thrilled to be on here and talking to you today.
Well, I watched Driven. It's a film that is going to be at the Chicago Underground Film Festival. But there's a bit of a problem, guys, because you had two showings and they sold out right away. So you added a third showing. And did that sell out also?
As of today, the third showing has sold out. However, I will say this is the first place that we'll be, you know, premiering. This will be our world premiere for Driven, the first place we're showing it in Chicago, but it certainly will not be the last. And after the festival, we will be keeping everyone posted on announcements. I know we had planned this interview before the show sold out. But I mean, it's not a bad problem to have, right?
No.
It's bittersweet. We're thrilled.
All right. Well, Max, I want to get you in here because you are, shall I say, the star of the film Driven. Gabby, you're in it as well. And this is your dad's last on-screen appearance in a film, correct?
Yes, it is. It is.
All right. So I am really bad at giving movie reviews or synopsises. I don't know which. But here's my take on this, Max, and you can help me out. Driven is about a guy who is a rideshare driver who's not quite happy with his life, and he gets inspired to go for it. And am I close?
Yeah, sure. When I have a total of, 5 seconds to pitch it, I just go, it's about a rideshare driver having a terrible day. But if I get a little longer to talk about it, I think on a deeper level, this is about a lonely, isolated character. And what we're trying to talk about is how these lonely, isolated characters sort of get exploited via technology, whether it's social media or podcast influencers, swiping endlessly on dating apps or, apps that give you instant employment, such as Uber or like DoorDash, something like that. And then you have these sort of new things, with crypto and gambling apps coming in. And I think these are pitfalls that people are facing on a more personal level today. Everything is in this algorithm to, come at you personally and take advantage of you. And I think this character is, getting taken advantage of, sort of. And he believes he has to be someone. And his only influence is through this podcaster that is giving him endless advice. And it doesn't seem to be working for him, but he seems to keep applying it to his life.
Well, you're a sad sack of a character in this, I got to tell you, Max.
Right.
And
right.
Gabby, you are filled with fire.
it wasn't a hard role to access for me either. But, Max's point, the rideshare driver you know, he kind of becomes obsessed with this sort of charismatic men's self-help podcaster and tries to really like reshape his life around this philosophy that he's being sold, which is like of discipline, of masculine reinvention. And we see it just kind of not work out for him. Like his relationships, his work, his sense of identity, it all sort of begins to fracture. And throughout this horrible day, as Max said, that he's having, you see him just kind of repeatedly trying to apply this podcaster's advice in increasingly desperate ways and just like facing rejection at every turn. So, you know, we wanted to, as Max said, it's like we wanted to highlight how loneliness is exploited online, on social media, on platforms, how it's repackaged and sold to us. And the influencer is kind of this grifter character that we came up with as he's a character, but he's also, he's a narrator. He has the most lines. He only appears on the screen once, but he has the most lines out of every character in the film.
Yeah, and he's played by the brilliant Chris Conrad, who is a one-of-a-kind human being and just a terrific overall actor.
I was very inspired by this short film, full 12 minutes of it, and I think Ben Johnson should play it for the Bears to motivate them before their first game in September on the 13th. Would you be up for that if I could arrange? I have no arrangements. I can't make that
happen. How close are the seats we're going to get when we let them do that?
Exactly.
You know?
I want to sit next to Caleb Williams.
All right. Well, I'll sit with you then, Gabby. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about how you guys got together to direct this and write this and who did what. And can you hang for just a little bit more?
We've got all the time in the world.
Yeah, we could be here all day if you want.
I don't want that. All right. You are your father's son. I'll tell you that. All right. Max Fitzpatrick, Gabby Fitzpatrick. We're talking about their film Driven, and we'll continue talking about it next. 720 WGN. All right. That's Maxwell Fitzpatrick. That's your, your audition reel?
That's my acting reel. That was from a movie called Be Funny, directed by the great Donovan Strong O'Donnell. That's amazing. I did not expect that.
And Gabby, you are just such a fashionable person. Are you a fashion designer? What do you do for fun?
Oh my God. No, I am not a fashion designer. I love eBay. I learned from my mom. I get all the credit from her, but thank you so much. I've got some fashion friends who are probably shaking in laughter at the notion of it right now. If they're listening, they might all be hungover. It's Sunday morning.
Yes, it is. And I love your mom, Michelle. She's awesome. And all your aunts and uncles, because your dad had a bunch of siblings. And
absolutely.
So how did you, Max, how did Driven start?
Well, I was in a transitional phase of my life. I was sort of getting over a breakup, and I was in sort of this frustrated mode with my acting career or whatever, you know, whatever it is at this point. And I just started writing again. You know, I went to film school at Columbia College, and my original idea was just to be a filmmaker. And I got into acting very later in Columbia, and then I went on to do Second City and, you know, other things, and I eventually became a part of the Screen Actors Guild. And then, you know, we went through COVID and a SAG strike, and the work was just sort of not there for me at the time. So I turned to writing, and I wrote the first draft of Driven. And Gabby at the time was in a film program in Mexico for a couple of months, and she had just got back, and she said, look, I don't want to lose this momentum of making movies. Let's meet at my apartment. Show me what you've written. I'll show you what I've written, and let's just put our cards on the table. So I think Driven, the original draft of it was called The Sad Driver at the time, and she read it and she said, this one, let's do this one. And I said, really? And she goes, but I want to rewrite some things. And then after 5 minutes of arguing, I allowed that. And she just made the script way better. And you know, we brought in some folks, you know, namely the executive producers, Paolo Lopez, Caleb Sanabria, and Louis Marco. And Caleb has a co-writing credit as well. And Gabby and Caleb, I give credit to. They made this mundane script, you know, that was just supposed to be sort of this sad story, and they made it way more entertaining and way more watchable. And I mean, I'm sure Gabby could tell you about her contributions to it. Namely, she wrote the scene with our dad in it, and she wrote it very last minute, and she just made it better. If Gabby, if you want to talk about that and what that was like to just sort of take my work, and you can talk about how difficult I must have been.
Yeah, did your dad take directions from you, Gabby?
You know what? He was actually, you know, beforehand, he's like, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. But once he was on set, he was one of the most professional, you know, he was in lockstep with us, and he wanted to do completely right by us and wanted to give us the performance that we were looking for. So he was honestly kind of a doll to direct. You know, Matt, like working on Max's original screenplay, everything that we do is collaborative, and we have a very like complementary, skills and assets. And, you know, we would get into arguments about things, but I would always be like, Max, there's an answer. We're so close to it. So let's just keep talking. Let's keep talking. And we're going to get there. We're going to find it. And it's going to be the agreeable solution for both of us. And I think, you know, what the product was something that was far better than either his original plan, my original idea. We found, you know, we carved something out of the marble that was way better. And yeah, Caleb Sanabria, he was an incredible addition. He's got such a quick wit, and he's just an incredible writer. Paolo Lopez, you know, mind you, Caleb, Louis, Paolo, our, you know, executive producer team, or all of our producers, we're all Chicago kids. We all, you know, went through the Chicago public school, you know, Chicago public schools. We all grew up around in and near each other. Like it also, this film to us was visually such a love letter to the city that raised us. But
yes.
Paolo put together the most incredible team. Our director of photography, Nick Emanuel, was the one who made it so beautiful. I mean, we couldn't have done it without any of those four people. So.
It was shot beautifully, and I want to know what's next for you guys. Are you going to do some collaborative work moving forward?
Absolutely.
If they'll allow me.
You both said the same thing. All right, that's if they'll allow me.
We're working on a feature length about an artist. Let's just say that.
Ooh, okay. I'm available if you need a a dead body or something.
Be careful. We will hit you up.
All right. A quality kill, as your dad used to say with Buzz Killman
that's
and
right.
Drive-In Reviews.
That's right.
Listen, I am so proud of you. I know your dad is so proud of you. We miss him tremendously. And please keep us posted. I have seen it. I've been lucky enough to have the trailer. The 33rd annual Chicago Underground Film Fest. It's been sold out, the viewings for Driven, but there will be a time and a place. Will you please keep me posted so I could tell the listeners?
We absolutely will.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely will.
There might be another big festival in this town that might want to, show us. I don't want to put pressure on them or anything, but maybe they'll give us another chance.
Film Festival. We've got our fingers crossed. And just to add one last thing, you know, and this is something I've been saying, but, you know, there are times in his absence, I've always thought, you know, I wish my dad were here to see this. I wish my dad were here to see this. But what I'm constantly reminding myself and Max too, is that he saw it already. He saw it. He saw this in us before we could even see it in ourselves. And that's the beautiful thing.
He is such a beautiful dude, and we have been robbed to not have him anymore, especially you guys and the rest of his family. I know they named a Chicago Peregrine after him. I talked about that on the air. I will.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I will do whatever I can to keep him with us, because I'm telling you, your dad will never be forgotten.
Well, we are also doing a lot of work on his legacy this year. It's kind of been in the background and quiet work, but there's a lot more developing with that too, and you can expect there to be a lot more coming out soon.
And on a lighter note, I really miss his Barney Rubble laugh.
Oh yeah.
All right, you guys, best of luck. Keep in touch. And is there a website, or where should people follow you to get more information on Driven?
So
we have 1 minute, guys.
You can follow our Instagrams, I guess. Mine is just Max
Pink
Fitzpatrick.
Death Productions.
What Productions?
Yeah, Pink Death Productions.
All right. We'll tag it, okay? And we'll put this on as a podcast. Best of luck. Please stay in touch. And anything that is a tribute to your dad, let me know, and we will talk about him on WGN Radio. We loved him.
All right, Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy.
So much for having us.
Absolutely. Maxwell Fitzpatrick and Gabrielle Fitzpatrick. Max and Gabby's Alphabet. Some lovely artwork that Tony did for his kids, whom he loved. So we love you, Tony Fitzpatrick. And we've got some IndyCar racing coming your way in mere moments.